Peter chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3. When I was looking at this this text, the Lord took me to Matthew chapter 12, verse 37, where Jesus said, "By your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned." In other words, what we speak, what comes out of the mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A very wise young lady posted this on Facebook this week. She said, "We need to taste our words before we spit them out." Yeah? Hallelujah. And, you know, Jesus Christ, the Christ in us, the hope of glory. So, you know, it's important that we watch what we speak. And I'm not just talking about speaking bad words or things. I'm talking about speaking into sicknesses and speaking into diseases and giving the adversary more ammunition that we need to give him. Amen? So many times we feed him. You know, when we gather here, even though Christ gathers here and the Holy Spirit gathers here, there's thousands and thousands of demons that gather in the same place, waiting to grow. Oh, yeah, they do. Oh, yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. If they came before the throne of God, they still come here. Hallelujah. Yeah, they do. And they come and they buy and when we speak things, they take those things and they run with them. I think it's so important that we watch what we speak. Amen. So look with me in 1 Peter chapter 3. Amen. Verse number 8, and the Word of God says, "Finally, be ye of all one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile or deceit. Let him eschew or shun evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing." And in the midst of this, God in his wisdom gives us how we can accomplish this. In verse number 15, the word says, "but sanctify." That word sanctify comes from the Greek word hagios. It means H-A-G-I-O-S. And that means to make holy. To consecrate, to dedicate. He says, so let's consecrate to the Lord. The Lord comes from the Greek word kurios. It's spelled K-Y-R-I-O-S, but it's pronounced kurios. And kurios means to put him supreme or as controller. So if I will sanctify, if I will consecrate my heart to him and make him controller or supreme in my heart, then I am ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and in fear. All right? The title of this morning's message, with the help of the Lord, is Checking the Pulse. Now, a pulse is an expansion or a contraction of your blood. And we're talking about a heartbeat. We're talking out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Amen? God's expanding his kingdom Amen. God's expanded it in the room. There's a pulse. There's a heartbeat. And God wants us to catch his heartbeat so that we're flowing with him and not against him. So there's three things I want to share out of this text today for us: being ready, being willing, and being able. Being ready, being willing, and being able. Can we lift the word together and make a declaration here today? Say, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word. My life will not be the same. Speak to me, Lord. I am listening. My ears are open and my heart's attentive. Speak to me, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we're so grateful for your word. And we're grateful that you sent your word here to accomplish everything that you sent it to do. So, Father, I pray right now that I get out of your way, that you speak through me. May the words that come forth out of this mouth bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to every hearer that's gathered here today. And when all is said and all is done and all is complete, you will receive all the glory and the honor and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, he says if we sanctify the Lord God in our hearts, he says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready. So we're going to look at being ready. Turn with me in Romans chapter 1. Ready for what? Ready for what? Ready to share. Ready to share the good news. Amen? Amen? In other words, when I sanctified the Lord God in my heart, And I'm ready. I'm ready when that takes place. You know, I've shared before, and I've shared this story, but there's a lot of people in here that weren't here when I shared it. In my life, I was raised in a Christian home. My dad was a preacher, went home with the Lord, served the Lord all of his life. But I would go to church every Easter to honor my daddy. Usually on Easter Sunday, I would go to church. And every Easter, I would pick me up some Jesus. But after I left church on Sunday, I'd let him out. It was like I was riding down life's highway, and I'd pick me up some Jesus as my Savior, and then I would, when everything got going, I would pull over and let him out. But on one day, when I was riding down life's highway, I pulled over, and I slid over, and I gave him the wheel of my life. I made him the Lord, my Lord. I made him my controller. I made him supreme. I just didn't pick him up as an additive, like adding sugar or cream to your coffee. I picked him up as the main course. And that's when everything began to change in my life. And the Apostle Paul says in Romans 1:15, he says, so as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So when I sanctify the Lord God in my heart, I'm ready to share some good news. I'm ready to preach the gospel to every creature. He said, go preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believes not shall be damned. In other words, I'm ready because I've sanctified the Lord God in my heart. And once I've done that, I've given room for the Holy Spirit to take control. And others, if we allow the Spirit to take control, it's Him speaking, not us. See, it's not only that we share good news, but we share good things. Amen? Hey, you know that God's called us to be a bunch of do-gooders? And we don't render evil for evil. We bless them that curse us and despitefully use us for His name's sake, for great is our reward. Amen? God has blessed us to be a blessing. Amen? In other words, we're not going to react and try to fight it back the way the world does. Amen? we're not the world anymore. We're in Christ Jesus. We're new creations. Amen? So look with me in Titus chapter 3. Verse number 1. He said, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers. We're not subject to principalities and powers of darkness, okay? We're not subject to them. But we're subject to principalities and powers of this world. We're talking about governments and institutions. We're to render to Caesars what is Caesar's. We're to render to God's what is God's. He says, and to obey magistrates or your law, or, you know, we're not to break the law. We're to stay in accordance with that. But we're to be ready to every good work.
Amen.
Amen. In other words, why? Because I've sanctified the Lord God in my heart, and now I'm ready to give an answer to the reason of the hope that's within me to every man that asks me. And I'm doing this by sharing the good news, and sometimes I'm doing it by sharing my good works. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give the Father in heaven all the glory. Amen. So what we're doing is we're being God to the world. God working through us. We're not gods. Let's not be mistaken. God doesn't share his glory, but we're vessels for his glory. Amen. So turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. We're ready. Verse number 17. The Apostle Paul says to his student Timothy, he said, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God which giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Amen. Amen. So we're ready to give. We're ready to share the good news. We're ready to share our good works. We're ready to share our wealth. We're ready to be a blessing to one another, to help one another. You know, so he's called us as a body. So he says that, but when we sanctify the Lord God in our hearts, and we're ready to give an answer to every man, the reason of the hope that's within us, we not only have to be ready, but we have to also be willing. In other words, God will not make you and I do a thing. Hello? So turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse number 11, willing to give. Verse 11 says, now therefore perform the doing of it, that is, there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man have, and not according to that he have not. In other words, God doesn't expect you to give above that you are able. But I want you to understand something. The Bible says, will a man rob God? How do I rob him? When I do not tithe, when I don't give him my first part. He says, I bring in my first part, and then my 90% is blessed. He says, prove me herewith if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. And what God is saying, your 90% will go further than your 100%. But what happens when you get in the valley, the first thing that normally stops in the valley is people hold back their tithe. That's usually the first thing they start. And then they bring damnation and stuff. You know, in other words, God's saying to you and I, And I don't preach on money very much, but he said, if you don't trust him with this, you're not trusting him. And he says, bring it in the storehouse. You may not like me. You're not bringing it to me. You're bringing it to the altar and you're laying it down to God. And God's in charge of it. And God blesses you. God blesses you. You know, and don't hold back the hand of God. This is the only place in the Word of God where he says, prove me herewith. In other words, I can testify it. Hallelujah. And I don't know about you, man. I just got a breakthrough. Amen. God just opened up the windows of heaven and poured me out a blessing. Amen. God removed something that was on our shoulders, and there's no way in earth it was done. It was done in the spiritual, and God did it. Amen. God did it. Amen. Why? Because of faithfulness. He is faithful, and all he's calling you and I to do is be faithful. Amen. Not only giving financially, but he gives us instruction. I'll find out where I was. It would give us physically. Amen. So turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. Do you get what I'm saying? Let me say this to you. The church, the body of Christ, doesn't need your money. God's our supply. Hello? God's the supplier. You need his blessing. Smile. It's all right. Hallelujah. I better get off of that. Nobody likes talking about that. Hallelujah. Somebody say, well, Pastor, that's Old Testament. No. The law wasn't abolished in Christ Jesus. It was fulfilled. Jesus speaks more about giving than it did in the New Testament. He said, it's easier for a rich man, a camel to go through an eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven because of the love of money. Because of the love of money. Amen. Amen. So look with me, where was I? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Looked at one next year and said, I'm glad that one's that's over. Get warm in the kitchen. Get warm in the house. The Apostle Paul says this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 7. He says, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear to us. Amen. The Apostle Paul said it wasn't about sharing the gospel. It's sharing the love of God. And that everyone matters. That every last one is important. You know, when one goes through the valley, we go through the valley with them. One suffers, we suffer. One rejoices, we rejoice together. Amen? Amen. We gather together to celebrate, to magnify, and to glorify God. But let's tell you the truth. We go through some things in life, do we not? Is anybody going through anything? I guess everybody's got everything they need, huh? Hallelujah. You know, and I want you to get a hold of something what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He says not only are we going to give financially, we're going to give physically, but we're going to give spiritually. Amen. And 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22, the Apostle Paul says this. He said, to the weak became I as weak, that I may gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now, what Apostle Paul was saying, when he said, to the weak I became as weak, he isn't saying, well, to the alcoholic, I became an alcoholic so I could reach the alcoholic. He isn't saying, to the drug addict, I became a drug addict so I could reach the drug addict. He didn't say to the adulterer, I became an adulterer, that I could reach that adulterer. But what Paul says is I had revelation and understanding where they were at so I could help them come out of it. Amen? And in other words, sometimes we try to speak to someone, when someone's here, we try to speak to them from here. But God says we got to get down where they are and bring them up. Because if we talk down to them, we're going to crush them down. We're not going to bring them up. So in other words, when we see somebody and they're going through something, we got to put ourselves in their shoes. Just because God has delivered me and I don't have that anymore doesn't give me an excuse to condemn them. In other words, so when Paul says, hey, when somebody was weak, I became weak with them. I got down on their level so I could understand right where they were at. But I had the power of God not to leave them there. Hallelujah. Not to become. So many times we become an element of what we surround ourselves with. But God says, no, we're going in there with purpose. Paul says, to the weak I became as weak so I could win them. Amen. So we're not leaving them right where they're at. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I know where God found me. Amen. When he found me, I was a muck. I was in the muck and I was in a mess. And he always reminds me, don't forget where I found you. You know, so many times we look down our Holy Ghost nose. Hello? Hello? In other words, God's saying to you and I, hey, don't forget where God found you. Amen? Amen? So we can relate. So that we can minister. So he say, you know, I don't know about you, but it took me 20 years to get where I'm at. I didn't get there overnight. So how can I expect that one I'm just leading to Jesus to be where I'm at? Hello? And in other words, if we can't relate to the sinners aren't going to fill this house. Hello? And this is a house for sinners. This is a house because there's no one perfect in this place. We want the presence of God to come. We want the glory of God to come. We want people healed. We want people restored. But we also got to teach them and disciple them and help them grow. You know, how much time was spent with you to help you grow? Just saying. Are we all on the same page?
Amen.
Amen. So he said, but sanctify the Lord God, all right, in your hearts, and be ready to answer every man the reason and the hope that is in you. You know, not only being ready, not only being willing, but that we're able. Amen. Being able. So look with me in Ephesians chapter 3. Are we together? Verse number 16, the Apostle Paul says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Amen. In other words, as Apostle Paul was saying, he said that we need to be able to comprehend. You know, being able. How are we able? When we sanctify the Lord God in our hearts. When we place him and consecrate our lives to him. Amen. And give him control. Amen. Release control to him. It's no longer I that's living, but Christ that's living in me. In other words, I've got to let him take over. Amen. I got to let him be my guide and my director. I don't know about you, but my steps always get me in trouble. How many know trouble loves company? Amen. That's why the Apostle Paul tells us that not only does he enable us, but he makes us able to stand. How? How do we stand? By faith. By faith. Like Apostle Paul would say in Ephesians 6:16, above all, taking the shield of faith, where you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Amen.
Amen.
Not only he enables us to stand, but he enables us to overcome. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but we're all overcomers through Christ Jesus. Amen. The Word of God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 12, He says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There have no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Amen. What is God saying to us simply today in closing? He is saying, if we sanctify the Lord, if we hagios, if we make him holy, consecrated, if we dedicate our heart to him, and we make him Lord, kurios, kurios, we make him the controller, we give him supreme realm, then we'll be ready, willing, and able to do everything God's called us to do. But it takes a ready mind. It takes a willing heart. And it takes us recognizing that our ability comes from him. It's not what I'm able to do. It's what I'm able to do through him and what he's able to do through you and I. But the key to this, for it to be effective, to be able to be the overcomer that God's called us to be, it starts with sanctification. It starts with giving him control. And today, in closing today, we're going to ask you to react. If you're willing to give God control, I want you to take a stand. In other words, I want you to stand up. I'm going to take a stand.